Pick up the second part two of last week's lesson on the began this new series, The Parables of Jesus. Looking at the first parable here, the sower. Let's read Matthew chapter 13. We'll read down verses 1 down through verse 23, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. The Bible says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word. He becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. We ask your blessing on our Bible study hour. Speak to our hearts through your word, by the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for the children downstairs, that you would be just in those classes, be with each of the teachers as they teach the lessons, that they, Lord, would be used of you to speak to the hearts and minds of those young people and to draw them into a closer relationship to you. And perhaps there's one downstairs or two downstairs that have never received Christ as their Savior. We pray, Lord, that they would come to understand their need, and they would give their life to Christ. But thank you again for this day. Be with those who are away this weekend, those who are traveling. Just keep a watchful eye over them. Give them traveling mercies. Bring them back safely. We ask all these things now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, everybody, you guys that came in a little bit late, do you need a handout? You got a handout? Got it? All right. Matthew chapter 13 is where we're at. And again, last week we started this new series on the parables of Jesus. And we got halfway through this lesson. I'm just going to take a moment or two at the beginning. If you just look at your handout, just to remind us of some things from last week. We did look at the seed, the sower, and the soil last week. We are also, though, before we even get into that, we were reminded that this parable of the sower and the seed is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's found in three of the four Gospels. And as you notice on the handout, Mark chapter 4, Jesus asked this question, know ye not this parable? Well, how will you know all parables? Like this is kind of like the starting point, if you will. If you don't understand this one, then you're not really going to understand the other ones that I'm going to teach you. And again, just as a way of reminding us that in this particular chapter, there are seven parables. And the first three of the parables, which we'll look at in the coming weeks, they are dealing with all that are listening, and then the other four parables are dealing basically with the apostles. And we're reminded this too, that parables, they're earthly stories that illustrate heavenly truths. A third of Jesus' teaching is in parables, and you'll find 48 times in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke the word parable that's found there. There are some other examples as well of stories that Jesus tells. He doesn't necessarily call them parables, but he used parables to help people understand the truths of his word. And then we talked about the seed and the importance of the seed. We looked at the fact that the seed, of course, is identified in Luke's gospel as the word of God. And so it's the idea of the word of God going forth and people hearing and people accepting what the word is as it's spoken to them. And we emphasized that it was incorruptible. And we looked at an example, we're not going to turn there, in 1 Peter, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. And then we talked about the sower and the importance of sowing the word, and that you and I are to be sowers, and the importance of sowing God's word. And sometimes some sow and others reap. And we looked at the example in the Gospel of John. That was the woman at the well. And Jesus spoke with her at the well, and then she goes back to her village, and she tells people, come and see a man that tells me, has told me everything I've ever done. And she said, it's the Messiah. And those people had already been influenced. The seed had already been planted. Probably John the Baptist, they had heard him preach. But we talked about that. That was emphasized. And then we emphasize the fact that it's important that the seed that we sow, we need to be non-hybrid seed planters. And I got that down, non-hybrid seed planters. If you didn't remember anything from last week's lesson, that's what you need to remember. When you that are gardeners, when you go out and you buy your seeds this year to plant your garden, you can remember this lesson, that you're not buying, you can buy non-hybrid seeds. Got to order them usually special, but when you go to Walmart or to Aubuchon's and you buy seeds, you're not buying non-hybrid seeds, you're buying hybrid seeds. And we remember, of course, the reason that they sell hybrid seeds is so you'll have to buy seeds next year. If you bought non-hybrid seeds, you could just take the seeds from your tomatoes or whatever and replant them, and you'd get fruit on the vine. But usually a hybrid seed will grow, but all you'll get is the plant, and you won't get any fruit. But we are reminded that we need to be non-hybrid seed planters. And anyhow, we talked about that. And then we talked about the soil. What was the only problem with the sower? We talked about there's no problem with the seed because the seed is incorruptible. But we emphasize there's only one problem with the sower. What is that? Laborers. There's not enough laborers. The fields are white unto harvest, Jesus said, but the laborers are few. And so we're reminded of that. But then we talked about the soil, and then we're going to talk mostly the rest of today's lesson about the soil as we get into the parable. So we've already seen there's really no problem with the seed. The only problem with the sowers, there's not enough sowers. But then the soil. When I also made this, again, by way of review, we need to remember this. As we look at these, we're going to look at these four different soils. We're going to look at the wayside. We're going to look at the stony place. We're going to look where the soil or the thorns and thistles grow up, and then the good ground. So there's four different types, four different results is what Jesus is teaching in this parable. And the hearers of this parable, they would have understood that. It's an agricultural society. They would have planted gardens just like we plant gardens today, although for them it was, for us most of the time, it's more of a hobby. It's not a way to survive. But for them, they were dependent upon planting their gardens. But we're reminded of this with regards to planting and spreading the seed. I read this quote to you last week. The measure of our duty as believers is not limited by the character of the hearers, but by the command of God. So what the writer meant by that was, listen, there are different places and different areas, and we'll talk about this a little bit more as we get into the lesson, where the gospel seems to be more received than other areas. New England, for instance, is not really always receptive to the gospel. But the fact of the matter is that there is good soil in New England, and people do come to know Christ. But you can't look at, or you go to our missionaries that we support in Europe, many of those missionaries, the building of a church is it's a very slow process. Then you have a missionary that goes to South America or goes to Mexico, and it seems they're there for just a few years, and all of a sudden they got 100, 150 people in their churches. And so it's different places have different soil, but the reality is it doesn't matter on the soil. Our duty is to spread the seed. It's to spread the seed. And that same writer went on to say this. I didn't quote this last week, but he said this. He said, I am not loosed from my obligation to sow the seed on the rock as well as the good ground, on the highway as well as the plowed field. In other words, he says, it doesn't matter. I just need to preach the word of God. You know, I don't want you to turn there, but sometime read Ezekiel chapter number 2 and chapter number 3. In Ezekiel chapter number 2 and chapter number 3, God gives this word to Ezekiel. He said, I'm going to give you the word, and you're going to go to the Israelites, and you're going to preach to them. But you know what he says to Ezekiel? Anybody know what happens there in Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3 after God gives that command? He says, they're not really going to hear you. They're not even going to pay attention to you. It's going to be like you're preaching to them, but they're just not listening. They have hardened hearts. But you know what God said to Ezekiel? He said this. He said, but they will know that there has been a prophet among them. There's been a prophet. The word of God has been given. So the responsibility as we preach the word of God is given to us, or we spread the word of God is given to us, whether they hear or whether they don't hear, that is not really our responsibility. Our responsibility is just to take the word of God and to give out the word of God. I've heard preachers say that going from door to door to door, it just doesn't work any longer. Taking the word of God just doesn't work any longer. It doesn't matter if it works or if it doesn't work. Our responsibility is to take the word of God and bring it to people, whether they hear or whether they don't hear. That's between them, and that's the Holy Spirit of God has to speak to their hearts. So the go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that's the same command that was given 2,000 years ago. That command hasn't changed. It's not like God gave us some new revelation and say, oh, remember that command I gave you? Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in? Well, we can move on from that. We don't need to do that any longer. No, it's the word of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so that's what you and I are called to do. And we can get frustrated because we live in an area that's not really all that receptive to that. But the reality is that we need to take the word of God and we need to bring it to people and we need to share it with people, and then it's up to God to do with it as he pleases. So we're mindful of that. So let's look at this here. The wayside, the stony place, where the thorns and thistles grew up, and then the good soil. The good soil. Now, before we even, let me paint this picture in your mind. So typically in the small towns and cities in Israel, when the people had a garden, it wasn't like you and I have a garden today where we go out to the side of our house and there's a garden. Usually the garden areas were on the edge of town. And so everyone would have their plot of land. And often, unlike today as well, it wasn't always so well defined. I mean, they knew where their plot of land was, but it wasn't marked necessarily with fences. It wasn't marked, maybe there was a stone at each corner, but there were plots of land on the outside of town. And to get to your place, there was a walkway. And if you lived here and your neighbor's garden was here and your garden was here, there was a walkway that went through the garden to get to your garden. And that's really the picture Jesus is painting here with the wayside. He's talking about the paths that went through the gardens and to get to your garden. And that would be a well-worn path. And you would take that path because if your neighbor's planted a garden, you don't want to be trampling all over their seed. So when you think about that, then look here in chapter 13 and verses 18 and 19. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which was received seed by the wayside. So understand, if they're going out and they're planting their seed in the garden, oftentimes they wanted to use as much soil as they possibly could. So you would want to get as close to the edge of where the wayside was as you could. So inevitably, some of your seed would fall on the wayside. It just naturally would happen. And it would be no different today that if you were just throwing seed or spreading seed like that, that if you were near rocks, well, we'll talk about rocks in a minute, but if that wayside were there, it's going to fall right on the wayside. But Jesus gives us the idea that just as the ground is hard, the seed that goes forth, it falls on the hard heart. And because it falls on the hard and heart, nothing really happens. One writer gave this example. He was using this parable to teach about preaching in church. And this was a very famous and well-known preacher, and he said this to his congregation. Some of you come to church, and when the preaching is going forth, you are like the hearer, you are like the seed that falls on the wayside. You come to church with no intention of really getting anything out of the preaching of God's word. Well, you'd say, why would people come to church? People do. And they're not, or their hearts are so hard, they say, well, that was good for him. He really needed to hear that. God, if somebody needs to hear that, then God will speak to them about it. But that's what he said, and he really challenged them. You're not moved whether I preach about the love of Christ or whether I preach about the law of Christ. You're just not moved. You're just there. And, you know, listen, there are people that go to church and they go to church. They don't. You and I should always come prepared for God to speak to our hearts. Or some get just so gospel hardened. We can be coming to church so much and so often that we just kind of tune it out. We don't really listen. We kind of think about other things. And it's like the seed of God's word, it's falling on the wayside. So we should be careful with regards to that. Look on your handout, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The heart becomes hard. Just as Jesus is teaching here, this wayside that people had pushed it down and it was just so hard the seed couldn't penetrate. Well, your hearts are hard. And then when that happens, if that's not bad enough, just as we saw in the parable, go back to verse number 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and then the fowls came and devoured them up. It's kind of like a double whammy. Not only is it falling on hard ground and it can't penetrate, But then Satan comes along, the wicked one comes along. Listen, Satan is always on the watch to hinder the word of God. Any way that Satan can hinder the word of God, Satan will hinder the word of God. Satan leaves nothing to chance. So the wicked one, verse 19, comes, that's Satan. He comes and he catches that away which is sown in the heart. This is which is the seed that's received on the wayside. And so we become, if we're not careful too, we can become hardened to the preaching. And sometimes we look at this, and remember, this is to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom. So I know this parable is sometimes it's applied in two different ways. In some ways, it's applied to people who profess to be believers. In other ways, it's applied to people who need to get saved. I tend to think the application is more for people who are sitting under the Word of God on a regular basis. It's not necessarily for the New England type person who doesn't ever want to hear the Word of God. Because this is someone who's put themselves and exposing themselves to the Word of God. So, that's the soil. We become hardened by it. This is kind of an outdated illustration, but I liked it anyhow, whether it was outdated or not. One writer said, this is like the blacksmith's dog who sleeps while the blacksmith is just pounding away on the iron. Get that illustration? Picture an old Western, and there's the blacksmith making up the horseshoes for the horses. And there's his dog as he is just hammering away and sparks are flying. And there's his dog. Like my dog Duke now. He's 13 years old. He gets up. He's got enough energy to go out in the morning to eat breakfast and go back to sleep. And then eat lunch in the afternoon or go out for a walk in the evening, come back in and go back to sleep. But it's like the dog. And so the preacher was saying, he's preaching. He's warning people about hell. He's warning people about the judgment to come. Or maybe he's preaching a message on the need of forgiveness. Or he's preaching a message on the need of being careful with regards to sin and temptation. But like the blacksmith's dog, there the person is sometimes literally and sometimes figuratively just sleeping through the message. Now, Brother Atherton is the only person I know that could actually sometimes fall asleep in a message, but he's still getting something out of it. It's like all of a sudden he wakes, yeah, amen, he says. You know, that's like the old story of the guy who was asleep through church all the time, and the preacher was just preaching away, you're going to go to hell, you're a rotten sinner, and the guy kind of, yeah, amen, he says, amen. But that's the hardened heart. And Satan is ready to snatch it away. And let's move on to the next one, verse 20. But he that received the seed into the stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. He has got no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So the same thing. So I don't, in certain places in Israel, it's like this. It's kind of like New England in some ways. You go through these, just go through for a drive through the fields in New England, and there are rocks that stick up in the field. And I always say, I've got a rock that's growing in my driveway. It was originally not there. Some years ago when we had to rebuild my garage, the excavator was there. I had some big rocks. I pulled them out of my driveway. I mean, these were big boulders. And then we put the stone down, and it was great. But about, 5 years ago, this rock started to stick up about this big. And then every year, now it's sticking up about this big. It's just growing. And I don't know how big this rock is, but at some point I may need to have an excavator come and pull this big rock out of my driveway. But the fields of New England are filled with rocks like this. But it's the same thing. So the sower is planting the seed, and not only would some of the seed fall on the wayside, but some's going to fall on a rock, and it's not going to grow on top of the rock because there's no soil there. But it's there. But I noticed with regards to this seed when it comes forth, the hearer hears the word of God. And remember, the emphasis on this parable Well, the emphasis is the seed. The emphasis is the hearer. It's the hearer. So they hear the word of God and they receive it. They like what they hear. They like what they heard. So the believer accepts what they hear. I've always said, when you have a visitor, this seems like to always work out. A visitor comes to church and they're on their way out and they would say, "Oh, preacher, greatest message I ever heard. That was really good preaching." And so you thought, well, in the early days, I thought, well, they'll be back next week. They never came back. It was almost like, oh, this person's leaving. I hope they don't say I really like the message. Because they don't come back. You know. But this is that kind of a person. And but there's, you know what? If there's no root in them. Look at our handout, Colossians 2, 7 and 8. That we needed to be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. This person, that first that they received it, they came for a little while, and then by and by, things arose. Persecution or tribulation because of the word. And they're offended by it. I remember years ago, I had a family that was coming. They started to come. And when they first came, they said, "Well, we really like good, hard preaching." All right, I don't necessarily think I'm a hard preacher. Maybe when I was younger, I was probably a little harder preacher. But they say, "We really like hard preaching, you know, strong, step on your toes preaching." Well, after a while, the preaching was too hard and they left. So, okay. So the stony place. And you know, I thought about this too. You and I can start out with the good soil. And all of a sudden, we'll see the next ground, which is also good soil, by the way, but the thorns and thistles grow up. Here it's not good soil, but our hearts can become hardened. We can even go all the way back to the wayside. And we just stop hearing. We become gospel hard. But we need to be rooted and built up in Him. And here in this example, it says tribulation and persecution arose. You know, and undoubtedly, at the end, when this pandemic finally comes to an end, there'll be casualties from it. There'll be people who got out of going to church, got out of their Bibles. On the other hand, there'll be some who, it'll be a positive thing. But there'll be some that some have gotten so accustomed to staying home and watching the services online that they'll just stay home and watch online. Remember, though, and I understand there's a pandemic going on. I understand there's some issues. But remember, the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And but there will be some because of tribulation, maybe some others, persecution, whatever. But that's what will happen. And so we're to be careful of that. Let's go on to the next one. Among thorns, verse 22. Now, this is good soil, because if the thorns are growing, the seeds are going to grow. Verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So here, where the seed, for instance, on the wayside that was trampled down because that was the pathway, and then you have rocks that would stick up, and just because you're planting the seed, you're going to get some that falls on the rocks. But here would be the edges of the garden, where the soil is not so tilled, or maybe not tilled. And you would probably get some seed that would fall into where eventually the thorns and the thistles would grow up. And in the beginning, you would say, "Oh, look, I've got some seed coming up on the edge of the garden there." But then, just like if you have a garden today, You put in your plants, you put in your seeds, you watch everything grow. But then as the summer begins to progress, spring turns in the summer, not only do your plants grow, but all of the weeds begin to grow also. And if you just left the garden, the weeds would overtake the garden. Well, it's the same thing here. But Jesus is using this example. And he's saying, listen, you need to consider what are you allowing to crowd out God's word in your life? What are you allowing to crowd out the assembling of ourselves together? What are you allowing to crowd out your devotions, your prayer life, your fellowship, your tithing, your missions giving, your witnessing? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's the point here. That's the point. And in this instance, he uses the idea of this when he says, he that received the seed, verse 22, but they're so caught up in the cares of this world, and then they're deceived by riches. You know, there's a real balance. You know, God tells us to enjoy the fruit of our labor. But there's a balance between enjoying the fruit of our labor, the good which God has given us, and producing fruit for the Lord's glory. There's a balance there. So God blesses you and you're doing well and you're excited by that. But you know what can happen? You can begin to do so well that you get to the point where you think, you know, I don't really need the Lord. He's not quite as important. You know, I've got other interests and other things that I'm going to be doing. And it begins to crowd out your experience with the Lord. And 1 Timothy 6:10 on your handout, look at it here. We're reminded that it's the love of money. It's not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after. They have erred from the faith, and they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, let me just say this. This doesn't necessarily only apply to somebody who's wealthy. There are many people who have allowed just money and the idea of gaining money and gaining resources and finances that have allowed that to crowd out their lives. Where one day, at one time, it was important for them to be sitting under the preaching of God's word on a Sunday, where now they've decided, well, it's more important to go to work. Now, I get it. There are some people that have to work on Sundays because the job is, you know, applies for that. But there's times that we have choices in our lives. And these are the crossroads that we have to deal with where the seed is being sown. And yet the thorns of life, the cares of this world begin to grow. And it's no longer, these things aren't as important as they once were. Got to be a balance. Don't get entangled in the affairs of this world. We're just here for a short time. Enjoy your blessings and what God has given you, but make sure there's always the balance that not only are you enjoying the fruit of your labor, but you are producing fruit for God's glory with that. And then lastly, it's the good ground. And this is where you'll find that balance. Look at the handout. Hosea said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So it's the idea of breaking up the hardened ground. You know what will keep your heart fertile? And by the way, this particular soil had to be prepared. And every time we're sitting under the preaching of God's word, our hearts are being prepared. God is breaking. Maybe that place in our lives where our hearts are becoming a little bit hardened, that's the preaching of God's word is meant to break up that hardened area. Maybe like my driveway, there's a rock starting to grow in your life. Well, just like in my garden, when I till my garden, after the garden's been tilled and prepared, there'll always be small stones. I'll have to rake them up and get them out of the garden. But even during the year, every now and then a stone will pop up. And it's because I have to go out into the garden all summer long. I've got to protect against the weeds, the rocks, the bugs. Well, that's the preaching of God's word. That's because our hearts are prepared. And it's ground that's been well maintained. It's a heart that understands and receives and keeps. Let me finish with this because I'm almost out of time. But I want you to see this, because each I'll leave you with this thought. Each of the three Gospels where this is presented makes a separate and significant point. So, for instance, let me show you this here. So look what it says in verse number 22. He also that received seed among... verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So in that particular verse, the emphasis here is on the word understandeth it. Understandeth it. The reason Jesus is giving these parables is so that people understand it. The reason we have preaching and the teaching of God's word is to help people to understand it. That's keeping the soil maintained. But now go to the Gospel of Mark, and we're finishing Mark and Luke. Mark chapter 4, here's the parallel passage. Look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 20. Again, with regards to the soil. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So where Matthew is emphasizing the understanding of it, Mark is emphasizing the receiving of it. So once you understand what it says, then you have a responsibility to receive what it says, not to reject what it says. You have to receive what it says. And then, because we're out of time, I've got to go quickly, go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. Luke 8:15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word. And now what are the next two words? They have heard the word. What do? They keep it. They keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. So, first you have to understand it. Then once you understand it, you have to receive it. And then once you receive it, you need to keep it. That's how it works. That's how the principles of Christianity work. That's how the power of God works in our lives. So there are many people that understand it, but they need to receive it. They need to accept what it says, and then they need to make application. They need to apply it. They need to apply it to our lives. And again, because we're out of time, but I don't want you to turn here. I'm just going to read this verse, and then we're done. Listen to what it says in the book of Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 19. Listen to this verse. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, are yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth? From this day will I bless you. So Haggai asked that question. Listen, the seed's in the barn. You need to get the seed. You need to get it out of the barn. The seed, we have the Word of God here. You and I have the Word of God. We need to get it. We need to take the Word of God. We need to personally understand and receive and keep it. But part of that is for then you and I to take the Word of God, the seed of God's Word, and to begin to spread it for others to hear about it, for others to know what God has said. So, kind of put that whole twofold thing together. We as a church, if we endeavor to be an evangelistic church, then we need to heed what the parable of the sower says. Don't become so hardened in your heart that you think, nobody's going to get saved. Nobody gets saved any longer. Their hearts are too hard. They're too caught up in the world. Well, maybe it could probably be said about most of us. At some point, we were that way too. But yet somebody took the Word of God and shared it with us, and it took root. And now we're still here, many of us, years and years later. Why? Because we've been rooted and built up in Him. You know what happens to those that have fallen away? Because they've stopped being rooted and built up in Him. They're not connected to the vine, and they wither. And that's the history, really, of mankind and Christianity that's happened. All four of these, nothing's new under the sun. Anyhow, I'm out of time. Let's pray. Father, bless the morning worship service. Let it bring honor and glory to you. Lord, help us as we sit here this morning as believers that even now break up the fallow ground. Prepare our hearts for what Pastor Ethan is going to preach to us. Prepare the hearts of the young people for junior church. Prepare our hearts as we read our Bibles during the week. Help us to keep the soil of our heart fertilized and well-watered so that your seed can thrive. In Jesus' name, amen.